Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Our coverage from Kansas City, presented by Brentwood Hearing Center, proudly serving Brentwood from the same location for more than 30 years, with their doctors of audiology ready to improve your quality of life by addressing your hearing care needs. And by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. They are online at FBHP.com. Huge thanks to Neil Smith for joining us. And earlier from the first hour, if you missed that, Matt Castle, Warren Sharp, and the head coach at Incarnate Word, who was the offensive coordinator for Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury whenever Patrick Mahomes was there. Eric Morris joined us as well. All of those will be podcasted, as well as Neil Smith. Still to come today, Tim Grunhard will be on the show, one of the legendary linemen for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tony Boselli, Bernard Pollard, Nate Washington, John McClain, and Ajit Pai, who is the chairman of the FCC. He is a massive Chiefs fan. He's calling the show today at 1 o'clock from Washington, D.C. That's going to be a real treat. That'll be cool.
Everything's been terrific so far. It's only going to get better.
Mike Sherman, unable to do the interview right now, may join us later in the show as well. And, of course, Mike Sherman, former Green Bay Packers head coach. Coach Ryan Tannehill in that transition from wide receiver to quarterback at Texas A&M to offer some insight on what he's seen from Ryan Tannehill.
And then Tannehill graduated, went to the NFL draft, went to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins hired Sherman to be their offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So it's a great end and backstory there with Tannehill. And whenever Coach Sherman can join us, we will chat with him about that. But it gives us a chance to sit back and talk a little Titans football now in the matchup against the Chiefs. Paul, just looking at the injury report, does anything stand out to you from what we've seen from the first 2 days? I know Vrabel's presser's coming up today at 12:30, which we hope to carry a portion of. Where we'll get the latest, and then the final injury report will be released later this afternoon. But, you know, Jayon Brown has been limited. That's a good sign, but you really don't know about the shoulder.
Well, I think people got enthusiastic about, I think Buck Rising had some video of Jayon Brown running around and jumping and stuff. I mean, I saw Jayon Brown in the locker room yesterday, or outside the locker room. He was politely holding the door for some media. But he had his shirt off, and he's wearing a harness. I don't know. I would be a little careful about interpreting Jayon Brown running around and jumping as being a sign that he's going to play. Jayon Brown has to be able to go to the ground and have someone land on him and be physically rugged in that way. We saw how easily his shoulder came out a second time after it came out the first time. In the game, what was it? In New England, right? New England.
Yep.
And so that's a problem. We transition.
Mike Sherman is the former head coach at Texas A&M, and he joins us on the show to give some perspective on Ryan Tannehill, who is off to a fantastic start in his tenure here in Nashville with the Titans. Coach, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Can you just take us back to the decision to move Tannehill to quarterback at A&M and what that was like in just noticing the qualities that he possessed to run the quarterback position for your program then?
Yeah, we had a kind of a quarterback in position to be our starter, and he was our starter for a while, but then Ryan always saw himself as a quarterback, but he was probably better than maybe one of our receivers as well. And so I thought Ryan needed to mature a little bit as a quarterback. He threw some interceptions when we first got there in spring ball and preseason camp. So I wasn't just sold on him as a quarterback that year. But as the season progressed and, you know, he would go in as a third down receiver for us, and then the next year, halfway through the season, getting ready to play Texas Tech, I made the decision that he would he'd play, be the starter at quarterback, and then he never looked back from there. So, you know, he was somebody, obviously, that had great feet and great athleticism, but also was very accurate throwing the football. When I look at him now, I had him in Miami as well as the offensive coordinator. When I look at where he is right now, I think the difference between him now and back when he was at Texas A&M and also even back at Miami, is that he has much better, greater anticipation of throwing the football. As opposed to waiting for someone to get open, he's letting that ball go pretty quickly, which I think shows up in the amount of the small number of interceptions he's thrown, as well as in protection. But I see his growth there at Tennessee. Those guys have done a great job of coaching him up and getting him to the point where he's at, and also his contribution. I mean, that guy never stops working, never stops believing in himself, extremely confident, an excellent leader. I am not surprised that he's done what he's done.
Go back to the beginning of that transition from wide receiver to quarterback, specifically in the mental part of it, the film study, understanding what you need to do as a quarterback. How quickly did he take to that part of it at Texas A&M?
Well, I always kept him in the quarterback room because I did see when he came in to Texas A&M the potential for him to play quarterback. So he stayed in the quarterback room even though he played receiver. So it wasn't like he was in a receiver room and not talked to about how to be a quarterback. He was talked to how to be a quarterback a lot more than he was about being a receiver. The receiver part came very natural to him, and we would use him as an example on how to run certain routes. As a quarterback, he's extremely intelligent. I mean, here's a guy who was a pre-med major at Texas A&M and did very well academically. So from a cerebral standpoint, he had everything that you would need. He had great vision of the field. He probably took more chances early in his career, and then had to back down just a little bit. But the athleticism and the arm strength and the accuracy were what Miami saw when they drafted him as a top quarterback.
He's so decisive now, Mike, and he was decisive from the minute they put him in, and that's what they were lacking that prompted them to make the change. What do you think contributes to him just he gives everybody a chance and he lets it rip?
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference between where he is now and where he was. The decisiveness, the anticipation, he doesn't question himself. And I think maybe watching and sitting on the bench and observing and being in that role may have contributed to him saying, okay, this is what I need to do to become the quarterback that I'm capable of becoming. But there's no question that when I watch him play, his decisiveness, and exactly as you said, I've said the same thing, he just lets it rip now. And he's not as overly concerned about the interceptions, and therefore they're not coming his way. He has some good receivers. He's getting the ball out to him as quickly as he can, and that's very evident that he just lets it rip.
Have you touched base with him at all during this?
Yeah, I've texted him a couple of times. He texts me back. I'm not going to bother him during the season, but I just I'm proud of him and how he handles his success. I think is one of the things I admire as much as anything. Nothing ever goes to his head. He's very complimentary of others. He gives back more than he takes. I'm real proud of him. Not just what he's done on the football field, but how he handles himself and as a leader on that football team and how he assumed the role. I do listen to press conferences out of Tennessee and how he handled the role going from backup to starter, which is a tough situation when you're dealing with a small room of guys and now you're the guy and the other guy's beside you. And I think Ryan is someone who would make sure that transition went as smoothly as possible, and it looks like it has.
Mike Sherman, our guest, former Texas A&M head coach. And, Coach, whenever you made the move to the Dolphins, was the sales pitch, hey, come coach your former college quarterback and make it that simple, or did you know at the time that's who they were taking?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. I apologize.
When you took the OC job with the Dolphins, was the sales pitch to you from them, hey, come coach Tannehill again?
No, I went before we went into the draft, obviously. So I was there in Miami when we did draft Ryan Tannehill. So and three of us who were at Texas A&M actually were there. So we had a great understanding of who he was and what he potentially could be. And as I watch him right now, I think he's still going to grow and mature as a quarterback. Even though he's done some amazing things this year, I think the future for him is even brighter.
Coach, you mentioned that the difference with Ryan Tannehill now is the anticipation that he's showing with his throws. Is there something specifically that you see Arthur Smith and the Titans doing to help with that, that maybe wasn't being done towards the end in Miami, or is this simply a step and an advancement that Ryan has taken in his play that you're seeing with him?
I'm sure it's a combination of both. You know, as a coach, I certainly admire what the coaches have presented to him and have taken full advantage of his strengths. But you know, Ryan's a worker, and he watches tape as much as anybody and sees what he needs to do to become as good as he can become. So I would have to tip my hat off to both sides on that one. I think the coaches have done a phenomenal job of putting him in a position to have success, but I think he's taken full advantage of that as well. And when you get into the National Football League, your growth is going to be predicated on your willingness to work hard. And I know that he's never been light in that area. He's always been a hard worker.
He's maybe got the best talent around him that he's had. He certainly has the best and most productive running back. That's going to help any quarterback, but you feel like he's maximized what he's got around him to maximize the ridiculous numbers he's put up?
Well, I do think, without question, they complement each other. I mean, when I look at Derek and I see him run the football, he reminds me of a Jim Brown type runner. And he's just, and his greatness is yet to be totally seen as well. I mean, he has, what a bright future he has ahead of him. But I think the two of them complement each other, because if all you can do is run it, then I don't care how great you may be at running back, you eventually you're going to hit a stone wall when they put eight guys up there or one plus that you can block. So take nothing away from Derek, what he's been able to accomplish. I think that the two of them complement each other. And I think it's a lot easier to throw the football, obviously, when you have a running back back there like him, and vice versa. I think you can run the ball where you can throw the ball. So they kind of complement each other.
Mike Sherman has been our guest. Coach, thank you so much for the insight and perspective. We really appreciate the thoughts today.
Terrific.
Not a problem. And good luck to Tennessee as they continue this their playoff run.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Hopefully we'll see you on Radio Row soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Mike Sherman has been our guest. And coming up, Tim Grunhard will join us.
I've got the tweet ready. If you missed that, you've got to hear it.
Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone. What does it take to be awarded the 15th fastest-growing business in Middle Tennessee, the fastest-growing dealership in the area, according to the National Business Journal? After years of consistent growth, Music City Autoplex can tell you. Aggressive pricing, tons of vehicles for any budget, financing options for any situation, more cash for your trade, and the promise you'll be treated like family. That's the Autoplex way. It's what makes them the uncommon dealership. See for yourself at 2430 Gallatin Pike. And Music City Autoplex wants your vehicle. They're willing to pay $500 more than any written appraisal offer you may receive guaranteed. You heard that right. They'll buy your vehicle today and give you $500 more than any written appraisal offer, regardless of whether you purchase from them or not. So it's not a trade-in. They'll buy your vehicle right now. That's the best deal you're going to find anywhere. Music City Autoplex, home of the $500 bonus appraisal offer, located 2430 Gallatin Pike, 15 minutes from downtown. Again, 2430 Gallatin Pike, their other address, musiccityautoplex.com.
Let's ride along.